Working on our discipleship books, we are on soteriology, the doctrine of salvation, and there's an old story that I hope you never get tired of hearing about, how God provided his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a payment for your sin so you could have eternal life. God did all the work, and all we get is all the benefits, and thank God for that. If God made us do the work, well, never mind, I'll talk about that in about an hour. All right, if God made us do all the work, we couldn't do it. So thank God he did. We've talked about the need of salvation, the act of salvation, the act of salvation on the part of God, the act of salvation on the part of man. That's where we finished up last week. On the part of man, it takes faith, repentance, and confession. None of those are works. All right, those three things are all bound up together in one. I had a fellow tell me one time that didn't believe in salvation by grace through faith. He said, "You say that faith alone saves." And I said, "Yes, yes, that's what the Bible says." He says, "What about Ephesians 2:8? For by grace are you saved through faith." So what are you saved by? Are you saved by grace or are you saved by faith? Now what that is simply a misunderstanding of those two words. Because grace, we've already seen it, is God's part. Faith is our part. There's no contradiction between that. He was trying to say that it's not faith alone, it's faith plus grace. Well, sure it is, but God did the grace. All we have to do is express the faith. And so salvation is a gift of God. It's given by faith. What are the results of salvation? I'm glad you asked. So we're going to cover that now this morning. What are the results of salvation? We've seen the need for it, we've seen the act of it, how it comes about. Now what are the results of salvation? When you get saved, what happens? Your bank account gets filled. Your car, you walked out last night and it was a 2013, you walked out this morning and it's a 2025. You get saved and your health, you had a health problem. Maybe you'd had an arm amputated. You got saved and you woke up this morning and now you got that arm back. No, that's not what salvation does. It doesn't bring us the earthly benefits of health and wealth and things like that. But it brings us something far, far greater. And that is eternal dividends. All right, not just earthly dividends. So what are the results of salvation? Well, letter A, it's regeneration. Now there's a big theological word. What does regeneration mean? It means that when you got saved, you were made new. That's what it means to regenerate, to make something anew or to make it new. And when you got saved, you were regenerated. You were made new. Our verse here, 2 Corinthians 5:17, the word regenerate is not in there, but you'll see its truth explained. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." All right? When you get saved, you become a new creature. Something happens. Something transpires. There's a transaction made where you become new. And that is done by the act of faith. Again, to try to teach salvation by works is to say that if you accumulate enough of those good works, then you'll be regenerated. That's impossible. That's insane. It can't happen that way. You're regenerated by faith. God makes you new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The verse goes on to say, "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." It's just like being born physically. When you come out of the womb and now here you are a new creature. When you get born again, you are a new creature in Christ. All right, unsaved people, we can put this title on there. Unsaved people are unregenerate because they've not been made anew. They can be religious, they can be moral, they can be good, but they can't be regenerated without faith in Christ. Look in the book of Titus, if you would, this morning. The book of Titus, right before Hebrews, about two-thirds of the way back through your New Testament, right before the 13 chapters of Hebrews is the book of Titus. Well, Philemon's stuck in there too, but it's only one chapter. So you'll find Titus if you find Hebrews and then turn back a page or so. Look at Titus chapter 3. And verse number 5. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his, what? Mercy. All right, again, grace and mercy are on God's part. Faith is on our part. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. There's that word, regeneration, the washing of regeneration. Now again, some mistakenly, when they see that word washing, they put water in there and say that baptism is what regenerates you. But it just said at the beginning of the verse, not by works of righteousness. And that's what water baptism is. It's a work of righteousness. It's righteous to be baptized. And it's a work to be baptized. And that doesn't save. The washing of regeneration is what Paul said, the washing of the water by the word. All right, when you and I get saved, the word of God regenerates us, makes us new in Christ. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Now we are alive in Christ. And that regeneration can only take place through a work of God, not a work of man. So a result of our salvation is that regeneration. Now that we've been regenerated, we're supposed to live that way. Look back, turn a few pages to the left there. Go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Our regeneration takes place at salvation. Now we are to live it out. All right, and that's not an act that has to do with our salvation. That's a follow-up. We have been regenerated, so what do we do? Well, Ephesians chapter 4, look down at verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Paul said this to the church at Ephesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation. And again, our word conversation means not just verbal, but your whole lifestyle, your manner of living, as we say it. You put off that old lifestyle. Put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That renewal is the same as that regeneration. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's created after God, created by God. And again, it's done as a result of an act of faith. Joining the church does not make you a new creature in Christ. None of the works or the things that man highly praises as far as religion is concerned makes you regenerate. The only thing that can do that is faith in Jesus Christ. It makes you a new creature. I remember my dad being 45 years old when he got saved. And when I heard about it, it was 2 weeks later, talking up to him over the phone. Dad was a good dad, a good father, a good man. But he was lost, and he got saved at 45. And when he told me, he said, "Steve, for the first time in my life, I feel clean." You know what that clean feeling was? Being regenerated. Having God come in and make everything new and everything fresh. And now that happens, now as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, you might live thereby. Now that we are regenerated, we need to put on that new man and put off the old man and move forward from there. But that regeneration happens as an act of salvation, as a result of our faith in Christ. So what happens when we get saved? We get regenerated. Nobody sees that. That's invisible. When someone bows their head and says, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive my sins, and save my soul," we don't see anything. But the act of regeneration is taking place right before our eyes. God in heaven is making that person a new creature in Christ. It's exciting when you get to personally lead someone to Christ. And as they're praying that prayer and you're listening to them pray, to understand what the Bible says is happening right at that moment, there's no thrill in this world that's any greater than that. To understand that person right now is being born again into the kingdom of God. God is regenerating them, making them a new creature in Christ. Right there as they're sitting at the table, at the altar, wherever it might be, trusting Christ as Savior. It's an amazing experience. So regeneration is the result of salvation. Secondly, letter B is justification. Regeneration means to be made anew. Justification, being justified. Here's how we explained it in simple terms. Being justified means just as if I'd never sinned. Just as if being made right in the eyes of God. Justified. You're made just. All right? Justification. There's a word that appears many, many times in the Bible. In fact, all the forms justified, justifier, justifying, 64 times that word appears in the Bible. Not always, almost always in reference to our salvation. Our verse is Romans chapter 5, verse number 1 says, being justified by what? Faith. All right, being justified by faith. I hate to beat a dead horse. But again, it's not by works. It's not by baptism. It's not by any other means. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Romans. That was Romans 5:1. I want you to see some other verses in Romans. Romans is the greatest theological book in the Bible. All right, you go to the Old Testament, you're getting historical books, poetical books, prophetical books. You get to the New Testament, you're getting the Gospels, then you get the letters of Paul to the churches, then you get foreseeing the end times in the book of Revelation. The book of Romans is really the key. It is the great book of theological teaching in the Bible. We've studied it before. Chapters 1 through... I'm going by memory now, so I've got to remember this. Chapters 1 through 3 is about sin. Chapters 4 and 5 are about salvation. And the following chapters are about service. I forget how that breaks down again. But it's all about the practical aspects of God's plan for mankind. And when we go to the Romans Road, we're going to the book of Romans. When we're using verses about presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, all that. Romans is so rich. And when it comes to justification, redemption, regeneration, the book of Romans gives us the best explanation of all these things. So being familiar with the book of Romans is a great thing to do. But Romans 5:1 said, being justified by faith. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse number 30. We've seen this verse before on some of our other teachings about salvation, about God's nuts and bolts to it. You remember verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Then verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. And whom he called, he also justified. All right? When you got saved, you know what happened? Your sins were washed away. All of them. Every single one. When you got saved, it doesn't matter if there were many or if there were few. And there were more than you realized there were. Nobody realizes how big their sin debt is. We recognize that it's big, but we don't acknowledge all of it. But when we get saved, we are justified. God, through the blood of Christ, declares us just. He doesn't see our sins any longer. All right, we sing the song. It's in our songbook. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. That's being justified. All right, in God's sight, he doesn't remember our sins. He has forgiven them. Cast them as far as the east is from the west. Buried them in the depths of the deepest sea, the psalmist tells us. Our sins are forgiven and forgotten by God. They're not forgotten by us. And sometimes they're not forgotten by other people. You get saved, you get born again, you get regenerated, and the friends that you had before you got saved say, come on, I know you, I know what you used to do, I know how you used to be, I know you're. They know our sins as well as we do. What they don't understand is God's forgotten all about them because they've been put under the blood of Christ. Again, our sins can't be put under works. They can only be put under the blood of Christ. That's the only thing strong enough to cleanse our sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You remember, you understand, most churches and denominations can't sing that because they don't believe that. They believe something else can wash away your sins. But it's only by the blood of Christ. And when that happens, we are justified. Go back in Romans to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 is what we're looking for. It's all good. It's so hard just to skip. Verse 24, but unto us to all to whom it shall be imputed. That's talking about the righteousness of Christ being imputed to us. We could cover imputation. That's a great doctrine. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. All right, was raised. Our justification is based on his resurrection. Was raised again for, if he had died and stayed in the grave, we couldn't be justified. But because he conquered death, hell, and the grave, we have justification. And we are given that when we trust Christ as our Savior. When we trust him, we are like that dead man that is buried with him and raised to walk in the newness of his resurrection. We use those verses in Romans chapter 6 to talk about water. Go there if you would. Look, it's over one page. Look at Romans chapter 6. And here's something very helpful. Verse number one. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. All right. Don't use grace as an excuse to sin. Don't say, because I'm forgiven, I can go do it and then ask God to forgive me, and he will. That's taking advantage of grace. God's grace is still sufficient, but you're going to have to answer for that. So Paul says, can we continue in sin that grace may not? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer? Now, context. How shall we that are dead to sin? When did that happen? When did you become dead to sin? When were you regenerated? When were you justified? That happened the moment you got saved. With that in mind, read verse number 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. You notice in verse 3 the word baptized twice. In verse number 4, the word baptism appears. Can I just say this? That is not water baptism. Romans chapter 6 is not talking about being dunked in a tank. It's talking about what happens to you when you get saved. You are regenerated. Your old man dies, and you become a new creature in Christ. And so that's what it's talking about. You, when you put your faith and trust in Christ, you are buried with Christ right then, not... For Paul, it was 3 days later he got baptized. For some of you, it was maybe longer than that. You didn't become a new creature in Christ. You didn't get baptized by the Spirit of God when you got put in water. You got it the day you got saved. You were baptized. You were baptized spiritually the moment you got saved. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. Okay, there it is. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. When you don't see the word water by the word baptism, check the context carefully. In Ephesians, it says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One baptism. There is one real true baptism. You know what it is? It's a spirit baptism, 1 Corinthians 12:13. Water baptism is simply a picture of that one true baptism. And if you do the picture without the one true baptism, it doesn't do any good. So the true baptism is when you're baptized by one Spirit, capital S. And again, that is when you profess Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God comes down from heaven and indwells you as a believer in Christ. And when he comes in and makes his residence in your heart and lives inside of you, you have been baptized by the Spirit of God. Now, on the day of Pentecost, when it happens, what was the result? Well, they all spoke in tongues. Now, that doesn't happen now, and folks get those things confused pretty badly in our day also. But what happens when you get saved is you get justified, and when you get justified, you are filled with the Spirit of God. Look at Romans chapter 5. Going back to Romans, we kind of got chased a rabbit right there. That's what we did. Romans chapter 5, verse 16. Talking about justification, Romans 5:16, and not as it were by one that sinned, so is the gift, talking about our salvation. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. All right, justification is a great Bible doctrine, a Bible teaching, that we have been made justified as a free gift. You notice that word twice in verse number 16? The gift of God is eternal life. And when you get that gift and unwrap it, you know what the benefits is? Justification. Look there in verse number 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So a benefit, when you got saved, for me, 50 years ago, coming up on 50 years ago now, when I got saved, I got regenerated, I got justified. Something I could not do for myself, and the church could not do for me, and no other individual could do for me. Only God could do that. We've got justification. Letter C, redemption. Redemption, Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What a powerful verse. We have redemption. What does the word redeem mean? It means to buy back. To buy back. We were sold under sin. Jesus Christ bought us back. How did he buy us back? Through his blood. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 14. He bought us back through his blood. Again, one of the tragedies of the New Bible translations is those three words in Colossians 1:14 have been removed. Through his blood. That opens the door for other means of redemption. And that's a false doctrine. In whom we have redemption, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We were bought back when we got saved. If salvation was a process, you're in the process of being bought back. When do you ever arrive? When does it ever consummate? When does it ever happen? You never know. You couldn't know. You wouldn't know. Not until you die and hope that your good works outweigh your bad. And there's a lot of people believe in that stuff. But because we believe in redemption through his blood, we know that the day we got saved, we were bought back. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees in John 8:44? Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. An unsaved person does not have God as their father. Now that'll fly in the face of everybody in modern society. Because you'll hear all the time in the ecumenical spirit of where we live that we are all God's children. No, Galatians 5:20, it's not 5:22. Galatians 5 says, we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We're not all children of God. You become a child of God when you're regenerated, when you're justified, when you're redeemed, when you put your faith and trust in Christ. Now are we the sons of God. All right? To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So there's not the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. That's a false teaching. We are redeemed, we're bought back when we trust Christ as our Savior. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Back toward the end, and this is a very familiar passage, 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 18. 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things. All right, nothing man-made. Nothing human. You're not redeemed with corruptible things, and he uses the greatest example of their day, silver and gold. You're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, even their Jewish customs and traditions were not good enough, couldn't redeem them. The law of Moses couldn't redeem them. The law of Moses could condemn them because they saw they fell short of it, but it couldn't redeem, couldn't buy them back. But he says, not by corruptible things, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. All right, there we go. Nothing in this world can redeem you, buy you back. The only thing that can is the precious blood of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So redemption is a part of our salvation. Moving quickly, letter D, adoption. Adoption. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 says, having predestinated us. Again, we can go back to Romans 8 and see that foreknowledge and calling and predestination and justification. And then we have adoption. Having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Again, this falls along what we just said about redemption. We are born not children of God. We're not born in the image of God. We're born in a fallen nature, the image of Adam, and have to have the image of God restored by faith in Jesus Christ. And when we are born again, we are adopted into the family of God. We have no rightful claim to be in that family. We have been adopted in. God accepts us the way we are. God accepts us with whatever background we came out of. We have been adopted into his family. It's a wonderful biblical truth. Ye were of your father the devil, but now by faith in Christ Jesus, you're a child of God. You know, an adopted child has more rights than a natural born child under American law. I could disown a natural born child in an heir, but not an adopted child. And God would never disown us because we've been adopted into his family by faith in Jesus Christ. So we have the benefit of adoption. I've got Romans 8:15 written down. I was trying to get through the last two of these, but we're not going to make it. Romans chapter 8. I know that shocks you. Romans chapter 8, verse number 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Again, that spirit is with a capital S. So that's talking about through the birth of the spirit, you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, of course, is the Hebrew word for father or dad. And because of our new birth, we're born into the family of God, adopted into that family, and now we can call God our Father. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, Our Father which art in heaven. There are a lot of people saying, "Our Father," who are not children of God. They're repeating a model prayer and thinking it's sufficient and it's good, and they're talking into air, because there's no Father hearing them, because you're a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." Galatians 4:5, I think that might be the verse. No, that's adoption, okay. Galatians 4:5. And here we find the word redeem or redemption in the same verse with adoption. Galatians 4:5. To redeem them that were under the law. Again, the law could not redeem them. It could only condemn them. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. All right? By our faith in Jesus Christ, we are adopted into the family of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We have all been adopted into his family. We weren't born children of God, but we became part of his family when we put our faith and trust in him. When somebody gets saved, you know what you can say to them when they trust Christ as Savior? Welcome to the family. Because now they're part of the family of God. And all these things happen. Our regeneration, our justification, our redemption, our adoption, and the next two that we will finish next Sunday. All right, let's pray together. Father, again, we're thankful for the details of the Bible. To God, know how well you put together the plan of salvation. God, if it was man-made, it would falter and fail. But because it is designed, because it was foreordained by you, Father, we know there is no flaw whatsoever in it, and we are thankful for your perfect gift of salvation, that free gift of eternal life. We pray you bless our morning service in Jesus' name. Amen.